Oh my God, are you guys in a band?
It's time for Devil's Business.
Yeah, you want to come back to the tour bus? I mean, van? I mean, Camry?
Welcome to the Devil's Business podcast. Now, here's your host, Patrick Jolly, and the guys of MyFavoriteSin.com.
All right, I'm here with Aaron, a.k.a. Sofane, and Nick, a.k.a. Alcoholic. What's up, guys?
Woo! Hello.
All right, now this is the Celebrity Encounters episode. We're going to tell stories about meeting celebrities and how cool or not cool they were. But before we go to that, we're going to our sponsor, My Favorite Sin. Nick, tell me the promos of the week.
Yay! I hope everybody made it through Halloween. I know it was pretty rough for all of us. We killed it with our costumes.
We won.
Okay, this week we got Wednesday nights at Rockin' Taco. We've got Mainstays Wednesdays on the Sky Deck. And what's that new special? We got oyster shots going there, Patrick.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be doing oyster shots. And we've got some other drinks, specialty drinks that are going to be coming in to Rocco on Wednesdays.
Yeah,
oyster shots are such a perfect thing because they're like a drink and a meal. Yeah. Like, so you don't have to compromise anymore.
And oysters again on Thursday. This is the 20th anniversary of TNG Thursdays.
That is actually going to be a super huge. I heard you were going to show up.
I am going to be there, of course.
It's going to be super. It's we got DJs from Mars.
Yeah, it's awesome.
They're very awesome.
So wear your boxes on your head.
Yeah, and then of course they finished up all that remodeling upstairs. I mean, it's just so swank and TNG now. They're so good. So Thursday night, do not miss the 20th anniversary. They're going into their roaring 20s. So Friday night, Metro Midtown Fridays at Cosmo Lava. Check us out there. You go to the website, sign up for our guest list. You'll get in free before midnight, courtesy of My Favorite Sin and Cosmo Lava. And then also back in Buckhead, we got Havana Fridays. Sign up for that guest list as well. And then, of course, we also do Opera Illuminate Fridays with Opera down in Midtown. Go to the website, get about 10% off with the Sinner promo code. And that's going to lead us into the weekend, you guys. Saturday, we got DJ Andre Perry at Tongue and Groove. And then wrap up the week, Joey G and Sunday Sessions over at Chastain Tavern.
All right, but before I don't want to like necessarily leap into celebrity encounters as much as I want to be a celebrity like Aaron was. You were someone's celebrity at one point. And we're calling this little quick story Fallen Angel.
Back when I was really doing the Sofane thing and I was all
MySpace famous.
Yeah, MySpace famous. And I had this, you know, I had that
image.
Vintage look with the long hair and lots of jewelry and flair.
And affliction hats, shirts, trucker hats. And yeah, all that crap.
You know, not too long after we were going through this, Chris Angel became super popular.
The magician guy?
Yes, with his little tricks and his magic and everything.
Illusionist.
And the thing is, man, when I'd have my sunglasses on and be out at the club, sometimes it would just take off that Chris Angel was at the club.
Aaron and Chris Angel, at the time when the affliction
shot
thing was
going, the exact same
no
prices.
Shit, they were fucking doppelgangers. Of course, it was the glasses and the hats and the hair and everything. But Aaron's also got that shaped chin. And he's always like, "I'm Chris Angel." So it's like it was nightmare. It was crazy.
Yeah, it probably didn't help if Aaron was calling himself Chris.
Yeah, goddamn right, I am him.
Well, I do remember you getting a lot of attention for the Chris Angel thing, and I had to like talk people off that no, he's not. That's not Chris Angel. So I'm sorry if I botched your celebrity status at times.
This really got started, I remember, when me and Nick had gone to Destin. And we were hosting a party there. And somehow the rumor got out in the crowd that Chris Angel was there. And the thing is, when we're hosting these parties, I'll be hanging over in the VIP area or up on the stage behind the DJ or something. So I'm in a spot where
it looks like we're a celebrity.
I shouldn't be. Yes. Right. This one night we were at Pure. We're hosting Saturday nights at Pure with Tucker K. Tucker would love to bring in celebrities and stuff like that. So this was actually a celebrity night. I believe it was Lauren Conrad.
LC or whatever from
the
Hills.
Yeah, because Tucker would do that. He'd bring in one or two celebrities, and then like you'd get like freebies because they'd be with them like a girlfriend or they have friends, and it just fucking makes sense.
So that was one of those nights, you know, they have this big elevated VIP area and one of the tables up front is Lauren Conrad. And I really wanted to hang out with her as much as I could. And so I went up there and I took some pictures with her. I looked terrible in them. I was really Chris Angeling it up, apparently. I just looked terrible. And but the thing is, I guess that started the little rumor in the crowd that Chris Angel was here.
Oh, Lauren Conrad and Chris Angel, they're friends, right?
They're fucking. Did you totally know Lauren Conrad and Chris Angel are fucking?
I don't even think anybody thought that. Yeah. but
he's gross.
So I had a few people start coming up to me and asking for autographs, and I would do the normal thing, like, no, I'm not actually Chris Angel. I don't know any magic or anything. Sometimes that people get disappointed.
Bummed out that they were all jazzed.
Yeah. So the pure night was the night I decided just to turn it.
Roll like, it.
Yeah, because this one girl, we were walking out of the VIP area, and I had had a few of my friends with me, and Nick was there, and we're walking out of the VIP area, and this girl comes up, and she's got a napkin and a pen, and I could tell she wanted an autograph, and I was just about to turn to her and say, look, no, I'm not who you think I am, except she was crying.
Oh, my God.
She was crying.
I'm your biggest fan.
Yes, yes. She actually said, you know, you're my favorite celebrity, which I don't know what that says
at that point. At that point, Sophie's like, I am a celebrity.
Yeah. I'm like,
That's all you needed.
Anyway, I just decided that I wasn't going to go through the whole thing again, and I would just sign her autograph
and make her night move on.
Yes. And so I did, and I forged this little Chris Angel signature, which looks so much like my scribbly signature, except instead of the E at the front, I just did C, and the rest is just all scribble. And so I think I did okay, even in this like slashing.
You know, she's got
A.
like in some frame, you know, thing now. Like
she should, because it was a really, really good piece of forgery for never having seen Chris Angel's signature at all.
Because
she was crying and she wanted to take a picture, and so I did that whole thing, and then she turned around. And then it was on. Then it was on because Chris Angel was
there. Now someone saw the autograph get signed to it. It's legitimate.
Boom.
So, he's fucking taking pictures, everybody.
Yeah, I was taking pictures and signing autographs. But the thing that sucked about like Chris Angel, like a lot of people, you can look like, hey, like Brad looks like Rob Thomas.
Right.
He doesn't have to do anything. No one's like expecting him to break out a musical instrument.
Right. They're expecting you to shoot sparks.
Yeah, but they want me to know some tricks. And I vowed right then that I was going to teach myself some magic. Let's be able to, like, boom, fireball. I don't know how hard that is or what that is, because I never actually did go. And I decided I was going to do that, but I never learned a single piece of magic. But if I would have, oh, man, there was like this 6 months where I could have had this celebrity.
I wish we could find that person that thought that they had Chris Angel's autograph.
No.
That would be so great.
Buy it off of him on eBay.
No.
Totally.
She's got a new favorite celebrity now. I'm sure she's moved on.
I'm going to take the next story. And this is the most epic story ever told. It's why Dave Navarro is my buddy. And this is a very true story. And I feel like people don't understand how good buddies Dave Navarro and I are.
I love how, as you're doing this introduction, you just lean back and pull the microphone to yourself.
Well, it shocks a lot of people. They're like, wait, first off, I have to explain who Dave Navarro is. Dave Navarro is the guitarist for Jane's Addiction. He was briefly in the Red Hot Chili Peppers. He hosts that Ink Master show on Spike or shit. That's Dave Navarro.
Yeah, and he's
my buddy.
Very androgynous, too.
Yeah, I'll kiss him right on the mouth because, you know, we're friends and buddies and shit. So I was 21, 22, and I flew out to L.A. because I was thinking about potentially moving out there and pursuing my comedy career out in L.A. There's nothing to do during the day when you're not trying to comedy it up. So I would just go to the Crunch Fitness on Sunset Strip, and I would go in first thing in the morning. I'd do about a two-hour workout, you know, because that was literally how – it was more for just celebrity sighting. You just see, you know, Danny Bonaducci comes walking in. He's not hitting a prostitute, so it was really cool. And I was like walking through the men's locker room, and I'd see this little short guy, this balding, receded hairline short guy wrestling to get on his shirt. And I stop as I'm walking past him and step back, and it's Michael Keaton. But he's like this midget, and I'm looking at him.
They're
like,
all such midgets.
I'm like, dude, you are not protecting Gotham. How
no shit. It's like, how did they make Batman?
I was like, maybe Beetlejuice, bro. You are not. You're not my Batman anymore. I can't handle it.
I'd rather have Val Kilmer right now.
Yeah, jeez. Because you can't even wrestle your shirt on while I'm helping him. You know.
Come here, pal.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm celebrity watching, and when I first walk into the Crunch Fitness and I'm at the front desk, I can see over the shoulder of the clerk at the front desk
all the treadmills. And it's weird. Like most, you know, fitness clubs have, you know, a fair amount of treadmills. In LA, it's mostly treadmills.
Yeah, no shit. That's all anybody does.
So it's like four rows of 40 wide of treadmills.
Yeah.
It's insane. And so I'm looking over the guy's shoulder and all of a sudden I see Dave Navarro just treadmilling it up. And immediately
burn off the calories.
Immediately, I'm like, "Holy shit!"
Tractor beamed you.
Dave Navarro treadmills. I treadmill. Like, is that not weird?
Yeah, it's so weird. Super weird. I actually treadmill on the machine next to Dave Navarro.
I'm super treadmilly efficient, and so is he. And I'm like, "Oh man, we both appreciate the same shit." And so. I'm like an Uber fan. So I was like, oh, man. I was like, this guy is super cool, and I don't want to bug him. I don't want to bug him because he's here just trying to get his crunch on, man. I get it. I get it. I'm going to go upstairs. I'm just going to lift some weights upstairs and, you know, leave him alone. He doesn't want some crazy fan because I didn't even know what I was going to say to him.
Yeah, you're just wet under the ears, 21,
yeah,
comedian.
I'm like, man, I really want to go talk to him. But the first thing I'm like, I'm probably going to – something will blurt out of my fucking head.
I want to suck your dick. Oh, no, I didn't mean to say that.
Oh, please, can I smell your fingers? What?
Well, he's still, I, too, have been caught stealing.
He was still married to Carmen Electra at the time, so there was a double thing there. So anyway,
so complicated.
I know. I don't know where I want to put you. So
in my butt, you little guy.
Right in my butt. So anyway, I'm upstairs. I'm sitting there thinking. I was like, you know what? I was like, no, fuck this. And all the gay guys I'm working out with were like, you know, you should probably go talk to them. And I was like,
because you were talking, you were confiding in them. Like, guys, what do I do? I know. Dave Navarro.
So confused. And they're like, you should probably just go talk to them. I was like, you know what? You're right, guys. I'm here. You know, this might be the only chance I ever meet.
Yeah.
Dave Navarro.
Yeah, good.
Is that good?
And I'm such a fan. Fuck it. Even though it's kind of, you shouldn't do it. I'm going to go introduce myself and say, what's up? I'm a big fan. Be the crazed weirdo guy. So I head back downstairs. Dave Navarro's gone.
Oh, no.
He is no longer treadmill.
He's somewhere coming down the mountain.
That's a different song. He's no longer there. He is no longer there. And I'm just like, so I kind of Snoopy walk over there all depressed. I just pick a random, you know, aisle of treadmill. And I wander down to a random treadmill. And I'm just like slow speed, just like sad walking on a treadmill and depressed. And I'm there for about five minutes or so. And all of a sudden, the men's locker room door swings open. Smoke billows out. Strobes. Can you believe it? Bow, 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 bow. Camera's flashing. The girl that was just on the Stairmaster, she's now in a bikini dancing in a cage.
Yes. I love it when that happens.
They're doves.
It was a factory of sparks.
Yeah. Apparently Prince was there too. I don't know. So all of a sudden, Dave Navarro comes walking out, glistening in his rock godness.
Fresh out of the
shower. I am not gay. But if Dave Navarro said, hey, bro, let's rub wieners, I'd be like, I'd hesitate. I'd be like, I can't. I want to taste so bad. So I was like, all right, no, I can't, man. I can't rub wieners with you, bro. But anyway, I'm staring at him, and it's awesome because he's shirtless.
Oh, wow.
And wearing sunglasses. Which
so
means
cool.
Dave Navarro went into the locker room, decided sunglasses now, shirt later.
You damn
and
right.
I'm going back into public. Like, and he walks.
Wait, so he's beyond the locker room? Just
no, he's in the gym.
No shirt.
Just in the gym, bebopping around.
Fucking celebrity.
Because he's goddamn Dave Navarro.
That's what he wants.
You need to understand that shit, bitch. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm just standing there. I'm like, oh, this is so awesome. Why do I have a semi? So he walks towards the treadmills, and he walks to the row I'm on. And he starts heading down towards me. And the whole time I was on this treadmill, I was just kind of looking around, being all snoopy, and looking at, like, the trash that was in the cup holder, and, like, this little piece of an iPod cover that was still sitting in the treadmill.
You took his fucking treadmill.
And he walks right to my treadmill. And that's when I realized this little piece of an iPod cover that was sitting in this cup holder, that's Dave Navarro's iPod cover. I'm on Dave Navarro's treadmill, motherfucker.
I had a feeling that you didn't go to some random treadmill.
I mean, how do I pick which treadmill it was his? It was fate.
It was destiny, man.
I treadmill, he treadmill. I told you that we both liked a treadmill.
You did say that.
And we always have the same selection of style of treadmill and positioning.
it's so weird, like the hair on the back of my neck standing up, right?
Right.
So he's heading down towards me, and I'm making this immediate assumption that this has got to be Dave Navarro's treadmill, and this is Dave Navarro. He's coming back out to get this piece of the iPod cover, but I got to be cool. I got to be cool, man.
Totally.
I got to
let him come to you. Seem too eager.
He's already on his way to me, man. Don't scare the fishies away, bro.
So reel him in.
I'm trying to be cool on a treadmill, so I'm moonwalking. You know,
right?
Yeah, I'm going backwards.
Working. Scott. Yeah, you know, I do like a triple, you know, flip, twist, and land on back of my feet and walk forward. And in one steady move, grab the piece of the iPod cover, do a spin move, hand it to Dave Navarro.
Jump, do a karate kick.
Yeah, just showing my kung fu moves. and he sees this amazing display. I'm telling you, this is what I remember.
Okay. Oh, I believe it.
I remember. Right. Yeah, I'm sure you remember the doves too.
That was it. Was there? Look, how do you argue?
I'm sure there was 21 doves.
Call Dave Navarro. I guarantee he probably has doves on him right now.
He probably does.
Anyway,
Angel has a dove in his pocket. Yeah. So.
This is not about Chris Angel. That guy's a super fake celebrity. So anyway, back to like real people that matter. Dave Navarro sees me do all this, you know, sweet moves and hand him the iPod cover. And we're seriously like so close. I'm like 2 feet from this guy, face
to
face.
Two people in time and space together.
Everything's slow-mo and blurry behind us. And it's spinny camera. And it's really nice. And he sees me do this. And I hand the iPod cover. He's like, super smooth to him, you know, a little rub finger, boom, and we're 2 feet from each other. And you know what? He could have just been like, "Wow, he's a cool guy, and I'm a cool guy," and just gone on his way.
he had that option.
He could have.
He super had that option.
I want to know what he did.
Then he looks at me. He goes, "Hey, man, thanks, buddy."
What? Yes!
Like, I am buddies with Dave Navarro.
No shit. Buddy.
At first, I'm like, no, we're just two cool dudes that like treadmilling. But no, we're buddies, man. We're connected.
No, you are buddies.
So, like, you know, we haven't hung out a lot. But you know, we have you know, conflicting schedules.
Yay.
I mean, come on. We're still pen pals.
Yeah. Super busy. I mean, he's being a rock god. I'm being like, dude, I host, like, the best podcast ever.
Yeah.
I can't, like, fit you in, Dave. Stop calling.
Yeah,
making it really awkward, Navarro.
Super weird, guys.
We have a listenership of dozens.
Super dozens, man.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
See? You understand, but don't try to step on Dave Navarro's spot.
Yeah, seriously.
I've only got enough room for, like, one buddy at a time.
You're
so
cool, but...
Thanks, buddy. Chief.
You can be my bro. You just ain't my bro.
No problem, guy.
Anyway, that's why I'm buddies with Dave Navarro. No big deal.
no big whoops. You know.
NBD. So anyway, next story we're going into is Nick. You had an encounter with Brian McCann. We're calling this Brian McCann's intro.
Yeah, this is once again, I guess I was unprepared because I launched into the situation with a goal in mind. And I thought about this previously if I ever ran into Brian McCann because we used to see him socially all
now,
the
Brian
time.
Brian McCann was the former catcher of the Atlanta Braves.
The Atlanta Braves, correct. And when we'd go to baseball games at the Ted Turner Field, he would always have his, you know, everybody's got their walkout music. And, you know, some people have some good ones like Tommy Thornton had like Rise Against, and I was like, yeah. And then for like 3 years, fucking Brian McCann had this one song. It's like, you know, something about put your hands in the air, like leave them there kind of shit.
Is it this? Is it this song?
Put them up, put them up.
Oh, that is that song.
Yeah.
Oh, you want me to edit that
special
in?
Special effects.
Yeah, it was.
Come on, production. Jesus
man,
Christ.
Aaron, it was that ass song. It was that exact song. I can hear it now. But so like, so he for forever he would walk out to this
could've,
like
could have put been caught stealing by Jane's Addiction.
Yeah,
Dave Navarro.
That would have
yeah,
that would have wrapped it all up. But so it was the same song for like years. This one specific night in question, they were all down on the VIPs at Havana, and I always liked that guy Pete Moylan. He was a sidearm Australian dude. He had, you know, sleeve tattoos. I'm just hanging out, and he's just standing next to me, and I'm like, "Hey, you're Pete, right?" And he's like, "Hey, brother, what's going on? Let's do a fucking shot." And I'm like, "I like this guy. All right, let's
That's
go."
That's the weirdest Australian accent ever.
I'm not very good at it.
A little Irishy.
They're all the same, like South African, Irish, and Australian.
Yeah,
African.
They love it when they're always like, they're Lucky Charms and shit. All right, so you met Brian McCann, and
so anyway, he's part. Or yeah, I get Pete Moylan gets me a little over the edge. So we go back to their VIP, and Brian McCann's fucking sitting down on the couch.
Oh, you're full of confidence now. You're already bros with
dude. Pete Moylan. Pete Moylan.
Wait, did Moylan say you're bros? Because you kind of need that rubber stamp.
Yeah. He said, "Thanks for the shot, bro."
Nice.
Boom.
Yeah. What? Give me some right here.
Yeah, that's on the air, daps, bitches. But anyway, so I'm riding the Pete Moylan high, and and I sit down next to Brian McCann, and I'm like, "Hey, man, I gotta be on." And this is me being too drunk, and we're in a packed club, and I'm like, "Hey," and I'm very loud and boisterous, and I'm like, "Hey, Brian, I fucking love you, bro, but listen, what's up with your fucking walkout music?" And he's like, "It's like scratch the fucking record." He's like, "What's wrong with my walkout music?" And I'm like, "Listen,
like,
man,
you've never heard this before,
right? Like, nobody ever said, hey, that shit's tired."
So all he needed was a nick in his life to explain
apparently,
that to him.
Apparently, because I'm like, "Man, come on." He's like, "Well, what's wrong with it?" And I'm like, "Listen, Brian, dude, you're the shit. You've been doing that thing for 3 years. Let's do some new music." And I guess I wasn't ready for this, but I was like, "Man, you should fucking play some new music, bro. Come on." Like, I'm all indignant. And this guy's so nice. And he goes, "Well, Nick, man, what should I play?"
Oh.
And then the record scratched and you had nothing to say?
Yeah. Fanboys.
Nothing.
Fanboys at a loss.
Nothing.
You couldn't just like spit out Ozzy Osbourne's Crazy Train?
Nothing. I had nothing. I wasn't prepared for that. I had nothing to like help him. I was just like...
Yeah,
and I think I even said, "I'm sorry, Brian. I wasn't prepared for you to say that. I'm a dick."
I'll back away slowly. I guess we are not bros.
He did say, "Nice to meet you, man."
So you are a man, and he's a man. He addressed that he is.
We're men.
We're men. But listen, if you finally get to meet somebody that you revere and you respect, and they actually take your criticism,
always know what intro song they should have.
Sure. Yes. If you're going to criticize them, have a solution.
Yeah, because there is that 1 in 99 chance that they're going to say, "What do you think?" And you're going to go. And you're going to spit off your fucking answer and not be fucking stupid like me and have nothing to say.
I know when Dave Navarro called me buddy, I went,
I just came.
And he remembers that.
I'm sure of it. You're buddies.
Hey.
I feel like you're mocking.
I am not.
Listen, man.
I am super totes jelly.
All right, well, let's go to the last story. And Aaron, this is yours. You call it the Nick Lachey incident.
This week, I'll go ahead and post the original blog of this story from back when it happened. I had written it up like the next day because it turned out to have been an isolated but kind of funny incident.
It was pretty funny.
It was a Thursday night, and at that time, Nick and I were with Armada, and we were throwing Thursday nights at...
ArmadaMagazine.com.
Yes, we were throwing Thursday nights at Havana.
Across the street.
Yes, that's when Havana was, right across the street from the old Tongaroo. So, both have since relocated. But, so I played a little hooky, I got a little drunk at our gig and decided I was going to go over to Tongue and Groove. Tongue and Groove was packed, and
packed
you could see it. You could just see it from the balcony at the place we're throwing the party. That place is just packed. Both doors have got these huge lines and everything is just going off.
Right.
And that shit just calls me. Calls me. I'm like, there's something in there that I could be fucking
well,
up.
Also, you know that you got pull over there, so you're going to get to walk in front of all these people, cut in front of them into the club, and you look like an asshole.
Yes, which I love. And so that's when Corey had come over and said, "Hey, look, shit, I'm going to go over there and check out Tongue Groove. Do you want to come with me?" And her and I went over there, and we go in from the Peachtree side. That main room was just packed. It was impossible to move anywhere. And immediately, you know, I noticed that this is going to be an issue. I'm not going to be able to get to the bathroom. I'm not going to be able to get to the bar. It's going to be a problem. But the thing is, there was a cop standing right by the door. And I noticed he, like, pulled his flashlight up and clicked it on. Now, in nightclubs, when the cops are inside and they raise their flashlight and click it on, that means they're trying to go somewhere. So they use the flashlight to knock people out of the way with beams of light. Like, they people just shine in your face, and people just, boom, just are they're gone.
Club kids are like cockroaches. You shine a light on them, they're like, get out of the way.
Yes, yeah. They just look up, it's a bright light and a badge, and it just, boom, everybody fucking makes a hole.
it's like a lightsaber.
Yeah, so one of the tricks I'd picked up early was, you know, just always drafting these guys. like a NASCAR.
Like they're a fullback. And
yeah, you just tuck in behind them, and you just go. And so I was like, Corey, come on. And so I jumped right in behind him. I did everything but grab his little fucking utility belt. And I'm like right up on him to the point where I can't see anything with the guy's back. But he is making progress, and I can hear him barking orders, and people are just making a hole. And Corey's behind me, and she's got the back of my shirt. And as we're coming through there, all of a sudden, we're making a straight beeline across the dance floor, and we are making great time. Head right toward the bathroom, which is where I wanted to go. And,
for all the reasons.
I wanted to break to the right toward the bathroom, but he surprised me with a sudden break left towards the back bar.
Uh-oh.
I didn't see that coming. And so I'm walking at a good pace, and he just breaks off, and I just continue going forward, and I, bam, run right into this little guy.
Right.
His super, super adorable little guy. And he's got a bunch of his friends with him or whatever, and I run into him, and I go to excuse myself when I look down, and I recognize this guy. I recognize him. Holy shit! You're a midget! Now, the guy looks up at me, and it's Nick Lachey. And Nick... Nick Lachey at the time had a TV show. With Jessica. I mean, he was like a big fucking deal at the fucking time. But I was stunned ever, and I don't know why now. You know, we've met a lot of celebrities.
They're all short.
You realize they're all short. The reason they look like regular size in movies and everything is they're all the same height. I'm looking down at him, and he clearly heard me, and he's looking at me aghast.
You just call him a midget?
Yes, and the thing is, the cop had turned around, and he grabbed me by my shoulders and starts pushing me the other way, away from Nick Lachey. The thing is, he kind of fed me by giving me that slightly like, what? Do you know who you're talking to kind of
nice.
Look,
do you know who I am?
Which I couldn't stand. And so I leaned out past the cop and looked him right in the eye and said, weren't you in Tiny 8 Degrees?
Wow.
Tiny 8 Degrees.
What a clever fucking spot on insult, you prick.
Yes, it was actually.
You know what I love about the story is that it gave you a story, but it gave him a story.
Yes, no, yeah, it did.
Wasn't there more to this?
Yeah, actually, it was the next day. my life had moved on, and I had a little chuckle story or whatever, but I get a text message the next day from Josh with Armada Magazine. Josh.
ArmadaMagazine.com.
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 Josh had breakfast, was having breakfast mm-hmm. with Nick Lachey and his people and everything. Because
they're
Josh,
like Christian buddies or something.
Yeah, they had a connection, music industry connection or whatever. And so he was at this breakfast, and apparently Nick Lachey was telling the story about this guy who called him a fucking midget. and Josh was asking him, like, oh, well, really, what this guy look like? He's like, well, he looks like a fucking douchebag. He's kind of tall. He's got long hair, and he's wearing a ball cap. He had all this jewelry on. And he's like, man, I think I know exactly who you're talking about.
And then Nick Lachey says, he was wearing fucking sunglasses.
Yeah.
Like an asshole.
Yeah.
Josh was like, that's when Josh, like the sunglass part, Josh was like, Jesus Christ.
He's like, yeah, I know that guy. I'm sorry.
We don't like him either.
Wow, we have some good times with celebrities, man. Right.
Celebrities love us. Apparently, we're all so close with all of them.
I know. We know how to act around them.
I know. I don't know why they don't call
us. We gotta get some celebrity on the podcast at this point.
Yeah.
Like a... Yeah.
I'll call my buddy. anyway, this brings me to my favorite segment, The Vent.
Cock,
fuck,
balls.
Shit, balls, you cock, suck. Balls, nuts.
Balls, nice throwback.
Call back.
I love balls and nooks.
Nooks.
Anyway. Nooks are my favorite. This is the part where we get
talking futs.
We get the bitch about the shit that pisses us off. It's never racist, sexist, or anti-Semitic, but it could be racist, sexist, and anti-Semitic. Does anybody have something they want to vent about? Aaron, you had something.
I do. And you know what? Let's go way back to last night. Last night, the Saints and Sinners comedy tour was doing
with your
a little
favorite
show.
Celebrity, Matthew Lumpkin.
My absolute favorite celebrity, Matthew Lumpkin, the headliner. And they were doing a show out here in Canton, which I thought was close. I thought like it was just like two towns over, and it's just right around the corner. It's just part of Atlanta that a lot of people don't go to. I roll out there, and man, it is quite a ride. And when I get out there, I'm like, man, this is not part of Atlanta at all. The venue they're doing it in is like, it's like a bar that also
specializes in pizza.
Pizza, yes.
I was at a pizza place.
Yes, and I actually was pretty excited about this. And when I first got there, we're all sort of chatting, and I'll go over to the bar, and I order a double vodka cranberry so I wouldn't seem too fancy for the folk.
Yeah,
I knew I could tell by the crowd.
Come to that bar, vodka cran, that's totally used.
City Slicker wants some damn cranberry and a vodka, don't he?
I didn't order a Moscow Mule or a White Russian or anything too fancy.
No, you can't say Fireball in joints like that either, buddy.
No. Well, they had it. She made me this giant drink and came over, and she's like, $8.25. And I was like, $18.25? No problem. She's like, $8.25.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just giant glass.
For an Atlanta alcoholic, I just see Aaron go, fuck, I'll have three.
Yeah, I know. And the thing is, she had this, like, she was selling herself short. Like, in Atlanta, you know, they if a drink was that, let's say you ordered a bottled water and it was $8.25.
Right.
Then they give you two fives and a one, you know, and then your change or whatever.
They want expecting you
to give a five. That's right. That's
Atlanta move.
That's like minimum. So, but out there, she gives me a five and then six ones. So I peel off the five, and I'm like, you're doing me a favor, and just cram all these ones in my wallet. And I'm like, this place is going
to
be great.
So you're trying to pay her off. I see what you're doing.
Now, I felt like maybe I didn't fit in, but I didn't feel like
I'll be honest with you. Everyone up there was wearing, like, their Bass Pro Shop hats, and he comes in with all his rings and his black pea coat and his big shiny belt buckle, but it's not the cool country belt buckle. It's the one that looks like a bomb with wings that plays as a
douchebag buckle.
Yeah, and plus my super sweet white shoes without laces, they were really nice. The show gets started, and so there was another guy who was hanging out with Patrick and his crew, and so me and him were like, we're just going to get a table down front, and we'll sit there. And as we're sitting down, the guy leans over to me, and he's like, man, service here is crazy good. They just won't stop bothering me about drinks and stuff. I was like, this is going to be great. I'm going to order some mozzarella sticks and lots of drinks. We're going to have a great time. The waitress was behind him. She spun around. She's like, hey, do you want another beer? And he's like, I'm okay. Now, I tried to, like, look at her, but she, like, quickly spun and went off. And I was like, all right, you know, no big deal. Now, I noticed, I'm like, you know what? Maybe it's because I just got started in this giant tub of liquor that I just gave. So I'll just quickly go ahead and gun this down.
Right.
Just shoot it down. And Steve was done telling jokes. And so we're moving on to the second part of the show. And the girl...
second part is me, by the way. I like how you just kind of...
Oh, was that? What
you remember Steve? You remember Steve? And there's
Steve,
a
like,
tells
a joke. And then something else happened.
And then the headliner.
And then it was my favorite celebrity, the headliner. So at this point, I finished drink. And
the girl
had come and asked him... She, like, gave him the look and, like, you know, gives the look and the point and the thumbs up. Yeah. And he keeps thumbs upping. And I'm like, no, stop thumbs up. Because I'm looking at him, I'm like, thumbs down, thumbs down, thumbs down. Look at me, thumbs down. And but nothing. I sat here and Patrick comes on. He tells all his jokes and he makes fun of me a little bit, which I really like that. I like being brought into your show.
You love attention.
But I felt like it was negative attention. I was already getting thirsty enough. Everyone, they were right, man. The service at that place was fantastic. Everyone, anything they wanted was like, bam, at their fingertips. Before they could even get out of their mouths, just like, bam, here's your drink. Bam, here's a lime. Bam, here's some pepper.
What about you?
Oh, no. No one's even looked at me. No,
they decided you were such an alien that they were just all going to group, like, collectively ignore you?
Yes, I couldn't fucking believe it. And so Do you know who I am? Finally, it's been an hour and a half, and
really?
Matthew Lumpkin is up telling jokes. Finally, I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to go back to the bartender who I tipped more than she expected, and she will handle me. And sure enough, I walk up there, she gives me one, and I want to start bitching, but right, Patrick's like, what's wrong, man? What's wrong? I'm like, I'm just mad about this right now. I don't want to talk about it. I'll talk about it later.
I'll be fine.
He's like, what? He's looking around. I'm like, I can't talk about it because part of the problem's right there.
She's standing right next to me.
Standing right next to him is one of these waitresses ignoring me. But the thing is, I guess I could have told him because she was not paying attention to me at all. Even when I'm bitching and like doing the full hands and complaining. So I got my drink and I went and sat back down and set the rest of the show and it's over. And the waitress had come back up and brought the guy at my table another beer. And I was like, I cannot fucking believe it, man. He was like, they keep bringing you beer. I was like, I know, I told you the service is really good here. I'm like, you know, I'm sharing the table with you, and no one's even looked at me. He's like, oh, man, I didn't even think about that. But no, nobody's brought you shit. And I was like, I know. I'm like, what the fuck is it? And he's like, see, I'm wearing a ball cap. And, you know, I think it's, you know, just I look the part. So me and this guy start walking back toward the bar. And as we're walking, the waitress cuts through the crowd and grabs his arm and says, are you okay? Do you need anything? He was like, no, thank you. What the? And she just walks off.
Once again, leaving you thirsty.
He turned around and was like, I can't fucking believe that shit just happened. I was like, I can't believe you didn't order me a drink. Damn it.
Nick, do you have something to vent about?
What's really bad is like, you know, I do a lot of work for a lot of people, and everybody wants something yesterday. You know, that's the age old thing. They want something from me, they want it yesterday. So what my favorite fucking thing is right now is when somebody emails me. And I get it. And sometimes I don't respond right away. I've been too nice to people because I respond so fast when I'm working. But first I'll get the email. Then I'll get the text message. Hey, look at your email.
Right.
And then if they're really good, they'll ping me like on Google chat or Facebook chat or even Skype and say, hey, man, I texted you. Did you check your email? I'm like, look, motherfucker, that's three different channels of communication. I got them all. All of them. All of them. I don't need more.
Maybe you need to read the email and stop being a little bitch.
Yeah, man, did you check your email?
What the fuck is...
This guy messaged me and asked me that during the podcast if I could ask you if you checked your text and your email.
Right. Appreciate that. Yeah, that doesn't bother me at all.
Well, strangely enough, I don't think I have anything to vent about. I've been pretty pissed off for a while now. So
you've been doing better about not being.
It's been a pretty good week.
Positive.
Super positive.
I think we killed it.
But if you have any celebrity encounters or anything you want to vent about and you want to email us at devilsbusinesspodcast@gmail.com, tell us your story and I'll read it on the air. Thanks for listening, everybody. Be sure to wrap it up and sleep it off. Bye.
This has been a Zombie Werewolf production.
Brains.